Now, I'm very conscious that I have been detaining you for some time over these past weeks in this 20th chapter of the book of Acts. And the reason why I decided to take time over these verses in the book of Acts is really for two reasons. First of all, that as a congregation of Jesus Christ, you might be reminded of the kind of men that the Lord God alone would have to shepherd his sheep. We can never be reminded too often of the character and quality of the men that Jesus Christ summons as under shepherds to care for, to watch over, to feed, to guide, to nourish, and when necessary, to discipline his flock. But I've also had a second reason for detaining you for some weeks in these verses. And it is that the pastors and elders who are among you, and the would-be pastors and elders, and those young men perhaps still in short trousers who might yet become pastors and elders, that we all of us might be reminded again of what we have been called to and what God may yet call us to in the service of his Son, Jesus Christ. We can never take for granted that we understand well enough the calling of Christ into the fellowship of his service. There are things we may know well, but yet, as we are reminded of them afresh, we discover, do we not, how far we fall short of the calling with which Jesus Christ has called us. These verses before us this morning are verses filled with pathos. If you look at verse 25, you see that Paul tells these Ephesian elders, "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." This is the last time that Paul will ever clap eyes and have fellowship and conversation with these elders in the church in Ephesus. Later in the chapter, as we shall see next time, this moment filled these men with overwhelming sorrow. They would never see Paul again this side of glory. It's a passage full, replete with pathos and sadness. And Paul is now at the place where he is about directly to address these men concerning the calling that they have as under-shepherds in the church of Jesus Christ. And you can perhaps imagine with what sense of anticipation these men will have waited for these words of the Apostle Paul. What is he going to say to them? What is it he is going to lay upon them from the Lord concerning the calling and the ministry that he has entrusted to them? Well, we read of Paul's words in verse 28, where he writes, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or bishops. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock, even from your own number. Men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." Paul has essentially two things to say to these elders, these overseers, these bishops in the church in Ephesus. He tells them, first of all, this: keep watch over yourselves. This is the first thing that he enjoins upon them. This is the first thing that they are required to give themselves to in their calling as under-shepherds in the Church of Jesus Christ. Keep watch, says Paul, over yourselves. Now, the pronoun in the Greek here actually is called a reflexive pronoun. Let me explain that a little. Paul is not simply saying to these men, keep watch over yourselves individually. He is not simply saying to them, keep careful watch over your souls as you individually seek to live out your calling as under-shepherds in the Church of Jesus Christ. He is saying that, but he's saying something more than that. He's saying you're to do this not only individually, but corporately. It's a reflexive pronoun. Keep watch over yourselves individually and keep watch over one another. In the New Testament, overseers are never spoken of ever in the singular. They're always in the plural. There's a plurality of leadership in the congregations of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, keep watch over your own soul, absolutely, but also over one another's soul. You have a due concern and regard and care one for the other. If you see one of you straying, take responsibility to draw him back. If you see one of your number growing cold, then together seek to draw near and encourage him. So the admonition of the apostle, the exhortation of the apostle, keep watch over yourselves, both as an individual and as a corporate dimension to it. We are responsible for one another. Now, what's true here in the context of Acts 20 concerning overseers and elders and pastors and under-shepherds is actually true for all Christian believers. We are to keep watch over our own souls. We are not to grow complacent in the life of faith. We are to keep watch over our souls, knowing that we are vulnerable and open to sin and temptation. But we're also to do this one for the other. We're never to live atomized lives. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. We are to look after one another. And if we see one of our number seemingly becoming cold in spirit, or less regular at the means of grace, or showing some kind of discouragement, we need to be there for one another and know one another well enough to say, brother, sister, allow me to draw near to you. Allow me to bring you the encouragement of Jesus Christ. Allow me to challenge you concerning where you are in your Christian life. We are to watch out for one another. We are to take care of ourselves. And the reasons for that are many. But we may be asking this morning, how are we to do this? Let me mention a number of things. First of all, we are to do this work of taking care of ourselves and of watching out for ourselves. First of all, by recognizing our need to do this. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We are all of us a step away from apostasy. And if you don't think you're a step away from apostasy, I would think that you're almost on the way to it. We are vulnerable men and women, boys and girls. And we have a great enemy, Satan, who has wiles and deceptions. And we need to recognize our need to watch over ourselves. And surely you know that. Surely you know your own propensity to wander, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Do you not know that in your own soul? I would think you're from another realm if you don't know that. We need to know our need of doing so. Then secondly, we need to be doing this not occasionally, but regularly. In Romans 8:13, Paul says, "And put to death by the power of the Spirit what is earthly in you." And he uses a present continuous tense. This is something you're to do not occasionally when the mood suits, not occasionally when difficulties come. You're to be doing this all of the time. You're to be giving yourself to putting to death what is earthly in you. And thirdly, we're to do this within the context of the church. Look back to verse 28. Watch over yourselves. And remember the reflexive character of the pronoun. We don't just do this work ourselves. We do it in fellowship with one another. We brothers and sisters behave like brothers and sisters. Behave like family. If I were to say to you, outside the church there is no salvation, you would say, what a Romanist thing to say. Well, actually, Calvin says that, quoting Cyprian. We find that hard because we live in a post-enlightenment atomized world where the individual is king. But in the scripture, it's not the individual who is king. It is Christ in the midst of his people who is king, in the midst of his people. And we do not grow up into Christ meaningfully lest we do so within the fellowship of the people of God. It is together with all the saints that we learn how high and wide and broad and deep is the love of Christ. We're to do this in the context of the fellowship of the church. But fourthly, and most importantly, we're to do this out of the resources of our union with Jesus Christ. In John 15, Jesus says to his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." How are we going to bear fruit to the Father's glory, fruit that will last? Well, says Jesus, you'll do it by abiding in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. You've been grafted into me by the power of my Spirit. And it's out of the resources of the life of Jesus Christ that is now ours in union with him that we watch over ourselves and confront Satan and sin and say, "Be gone," and we call upon, as it were, we call upon in the power of God's Spirit, we call upon the resources of Jesus Christ that are ours in union with him. Paul says to these men, keep watch over yourselves. That's where shepherding begins, young men, would-be pastors and teachers. You will never shepherd anyone if you're not shepherding yourself in the grace of Jesus Christ. You will never have anyone to take anything you say with a whit of seriousness if they do not see that what you are asking of them, you are asking far more of yourself first. But then secondly, he says, not only do they keep watch over themselves, but keep watch over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or bishops. Keep watch over all the flock. You see, the church is a little like a sheepfold. Sheep come in all shapes and sizes. Most of them are a little dozy. But some of them seem to have their heads screwed on. But you look at a sheepfold and you can discern types. And it's the same in the Christian church. Christians come in all shapes and sizes. They come in attractive sizes, pleasant sizes. There are those who are amenable to instruction and who receive with delight everything that you would bring to them, who love corrections because they see that corrections and love are God's way of guarding us from one way and bringing us into better ways. But there are others in the Christian church who are truculent, angular, difficult. They're always wanting to argue the point. And Paul is saying to these elders, whether you like it or not, you're to take care of all the flock. Not simply the ones that you are instinctively drawn to. The ones who stimulate you and who are fun to be with and who receive your instruction and admonitions. You're to care for all the flock. You're to give yourself to all who belong to the fellowship of the people of God. And the reason for that, as we shall see in a few moments, is this. Because Jesus Christ did that. You're to watch over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. This is the primary calling of pastors and teachers. To watch over, to care for the flock. And how are we to do that? Well, principally we do it through the preaching, the exposition and the application of the Word of God. Let me try and illustrate it like this. When Peter stands here on Sunday mornings and evenings and says, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we gather here at 10:30 on a Sunday, at 6 p.m. in the Lutheran Church in Huntingdon Road on Sunday evenings, at 7:45 on Thursday evenings in Cockcroft Hall off Grange Road. He's not saying to the congregation, saying to you, saying to me, here is a spiritual buffet that you can choose. Choose what's to your liking. You may like the morning. That's fine. You may like the evening. If that suits your taste, fine. Or you may prefer the Thursday evening. Peter's not saying that. He's saying this. Listen to this. He's saying this as a representative of the elders of this congregation set over you in Jesus Christ. We believe that your spiritual good and your nurturing in the gospel requires this. That you gather for worship at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. That you gather for worship at 6 p.m. on a Sunday evening. And that you gather for worship and Bible study and prayer at 7:45 on Thursday evenings. He's not offering a spiritual buffet. You say, well, where do you find that in the Bible? Well, of course, you don't find that in the Bible, but you find the principles there. Plus, the responsibility of elders and pastors is to seek the good of the sheep that have been committed to their care. What kind of parent would any of us be if we said to our children, now children, in the coming week, we're going to have breakfast at 8, we're going to have lunch at 12 and dinner at 6, but come and go as you choose. Take what you like, leave what you don't like. We're not giving our children options. We're preparing things for their good. That's how sheep are to be fed and nurtured and nourished. That's how they're to grow up into Jesus Christ, the head. Be shepherds of all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit has set you apart for this work. Now, I'm conscious that this is not the spiritual or church culture of some of you. But Scripture always trumps culture. It always trumps culture. And that's why in Hebrews 13, and this again is so foreign to the age we live in, the writer of Hebrews says, obey your leaders. Not because they're always right, not because they're paragons of virtues, but because they've been set over you in the Lord to care for you as men who have an account to give. I remember, must be I'll tell you exactly when it was. 1990, I think. Either late 89 or very early 1990, a couple came to our church in New Mills, young couple. Sunday evening service. And probably then we had about, 100 or so would come to the Sunday evening service. Astonishingly, the largest Sunday evening service between Glasgow and the English border. Most Church of Scotland didn't even have an English service, evening service. And this couple came. Someone had said to them, you should go along to Loudon Church, New Mills. They lived in the next town. And they came along. And at the end of the service, I spoke to them before the service, but at the end of the service, I said, it's good to see you. He said, it was great to be here. It was great to be here. We didn't know there was anything like this. Either they had just been converted, or that night they had been converted. I'm not quite sure. The next Sunday morning, they came again. And they sat in the very front row. Now, Loudon Parish Church, New Mills, in East Ayrshire, is a large building. Probably could seat about 1,000. Wonderful gallery. Best preaching church I've ever been in. Three aisles. They sat in the very front row. And there was about six rows between them and the next people who were coming in. Probably about 250 came in the morning or so. And they looked round. And I could see they were puzzled. And at the end of the service, they said this to me. What's wrong? I said, well, what do you mean? Why is this place not filled? Do people not know that God is here? That hadn't been their culture. It hadn't been the habit of going to church at all. They came one Sunday night. He's now an elder, actually, in the church. Came the next morning, and they couldn't believe it wasn't packed with people. Well, where are they? I'd say they're in their beds. Keep watch over all the flock. And we do that principally by opening the Word of God and saying, feed on the food of heaven. It requires more than that, doesn't it? It requires visitation. And perhaps and surely we've not done that as faithfully and as well as we should have done, to our shame. Looking to see the fruit of the word take root in the lives of God's people. And so Paul says to them, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Let me close in a few minutes by asking you this question. What do you think this sermon's been about? Perhaps you're thinking, that's a silly question to ask, Ian. It's obvious what it's been about. It's about elders caring for the sheep and caring for themselves. Well, that's true, obviously true. Do you think that's what the sermon's really been about? If you think that, I've either failed dismally or you haven't listened and read carefully. Read again and listen again as I read verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. You see, the great premise or presupposition of everything that Paul has said has rested on this. You know why you have to do this, men? Because these people have been bought with blood. They're precious to Almighty God. Every single one who will ever believe in Jesus Christ is precious to Almighty God. Do you know why you have to care for them and watch over them and love them and teach them? Because God shed his blood for them. It's a remarkable statement that Paul makes. The church of God that he bought with his own blood. God cannot die. But the God-man died. And the great mystery of the gospel, isn't it, is that while Jesus Christ hung on the cross, and cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even at that moment, he was upholding the universe by his word of power with his Father and the Spirit. If you're interested, it's called the extra Calvinisticum in Reformation theology. Even as he hung on the cross, he was upholding the universe. But Paul is saying to these men, do you know why you have to be like this? Because the chief shepherd of the sheep laid down his life for the sheep. The chief shepherd of the sheep humbled himself unto death to do his sheep good. Do you know why you have to care for all of them? Because the Son of God bled and died for them. And if they were worth his blood, they are worth your effort. You see, the model of spiritual servanthood is not seen in pastors or elders. If you think that, really get your head screwed on. It's found in Jesus Christ, the chief pastor of the sheep, the chief shepherd of the flock. He is the model of servanthood. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. So here's the question for the congregation to think about. And I want you, Peter and I want you to think about this. And think about it carefully. What kind of men should be elders in this church? You could say much. Here's the kind of men who should be elders in this church. Men, when you look at them, you say this. You remind me of Jesus. And if they don't remind you of Jesus, they should never be elders in the Church of Jesus Christ, because under-shepherds are to reflect the grace and character of the chief shepherd. Now, I'm very conscious for Peter and myself and for the other office bearers in the church and for David Pfeiffer preparing for the ministry, and for other men who please God in coming days, will do the same. You're sitting thinking, not any more than we are. Who is sufficient for these things? Not one of us. Not one of us. But our sufficiency is of God. And you might be sitting thinking, well, that rules me out. Brothers, you are not the best person fitted to say whether you should be an elder in this church or not. That's for the Church of Jesus Christ and its elders to decide, not you. If it was left to ourselves, there wouldn't be any elders in this church. Jesus Christ is the model of spiritual servanthood. He bought the church with his own blood. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, he that desires the office of an overseer desires a good thing. I want to leave this sermon this morning with this question. Brothers, do any of you desire the office of an elder? Do you? Maybe you're thinking, well, do you know I do, but I just wouldn't tell it to the world. Well, tell it to us. What's the worst that could happen? Why did Paul write that? He who desires the office of an elder, a bishop, an overseer, desires a good thing. Why does he put it first of a great list that he's going to write in 1 Timothy 3? Because he knows human nature. He's saying, you know, God gives us desires. Sometimes we don't know if they're God's desires or simply desires we've manufactured. That's for the church to decide, isn't it? What's the worst that could happen? The church might say, that's great. Wait 20 years. wait 2 months. I've been waiting for you to say that. He bought the church with his blood. Brothers, if it was worth his blood, it's certainly worth ours.